society, always be aware of your surroundings. They are among us. They always have been. The true criminal minds, killers, evil, and some are monsters. Welcome to True Criminal Minds with Douglas Boyd. True Criminal Minds gives you the stories of the most notorious and the most vile among us. We do not cheer them. Rather, we expose their evil. We do always advocate, lift up, and pray for their victims. Welcome to True Criminal Minds. Welcome to True Criminal Minds. I'm your host, Douglas Boyd. Thank you so much for joining us. Please remember that these episodes are not for the faint of heart. They are explicit. They do deal with a violent context, so please, listener discretion is advised. These are not for your children to listen to. Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider subscribing to it. Be part of our podcast group here. We're going to jump right into it today. We are talking about a very famous case that all of you have heard of. Many movies have been made, books written, theories put forth about who this killer could be. We are talking about the Zodiac Killer tonight. Let's jump into it right now, why don't we? The Zodiac Killer. The Zodiac Killer was an unidentified American serial killer. The Zodiac Killer was believed to have murdered at least five people in Northern California, but actually they believed that there were probably more. In 1968, a teenage couple was shot to death near their car in a remote area north of San Francisco. 1 year later, another couple was attacked in similar circumstances, though the male victim survived. After the 1969 attack, the killer phoned the police to alert them to the crime and to take responsibility for the 1968 murders. Later that year, the Zodiac Killer attacked another young couple, though once again, the male survived. The last known victim was a taxi cab driver. He was shot in October of 1969. The murders were the subject of intense investigation and media coverage, particularly because of the killer's taunting letters to newspapers and phone calls to the police. His letters, these were sent from 1969 to 1974, were signed with a symbol resembling the crosshairs of a gun sight, and typically began with the phrase, "This is the Zodiac speaking." Included among the letters were four ciphers, or cryptograms, the first of which was sent in three parts to three Bay Area newspapers in July of 1969, known as the 408 cipher for the number of characters it contained. It was soon decoded by a pair of private citizens, and its message stated in part that, "I like killing people because it is so much fun." Another cipher, the 340 cipher, mailed to the San Francisco Chronicle in November of 1969, was finally decoded in 2020 by a team of three amateur code breakers. Its message began, "I hope you're having lots of fun and trying to catch me." There's so much mystery that remains around the Zodiac case, not the least the issue of when the crime stopped. Crime writer Robert Graysmith argued that the Zodiac Killer remained active throughout the 80s and murdered dozens more people, though this view is very controversial. During the 1990s, several investigators claimed to have identified the Zodiac Killer. The suspect most often cited was Arthur Lee Allen. Allen was born in 1933 and he died in 1992. He was a school teacher who had been institutionalized in 1975 for child molestation, though his identification with the Zodiac Killer has never been substantiated. Now let's go back to the Zodiac's crimes themselves. At the present, we know at least four separate attacks have been definitely attributed to the Zodiac Killer, The first confirmed incident took place on the night of December the 20th, 1968, when 17-year-old David Faraday and his 16-year-old girlfriend, Betty Lou Jensen, were shot to death near their car at a remote spot on Lake Herman Road on the outskirts of Vallejo, California. Police were baffled and police were unable to determine the motive for the crime or a suspect. Early in the morning of July the 5th, 1969, Darlene Farron, age 22, and her boyfriend, Mike Magow, age 19, were sitting in a parked car in a similarly remote Vallejo location when they were approached by a man with a flashlight. The figure fired multiple shots at them, killing Farron and seriously wounding Magow. Within an hour of the incident, a man called the police department, giving them the location of the crime scene and claiming responsibility for both that attack and the 1968 murders of Faraday and Jensen. Despite evidence that included fingerprints and a description of the killer, the decoded cipher, and a wave of tips and leads, police were unable to track down the Zodiac killer. On the evening of September the 27th, 1969, the Zodiac killer struck again, approaching a young couple, Cecilia Shepherd and Brian Hartnell, as they relaxed on an isolated part of the shore of Lake Berryessa in Napa County. He was wearing a hood and a shirt bearing a circle cross symbol. He tied them up before brutally stabbing them, scrawling a message for the police on the car and then leaving the scene. He then called the Napa Police Department to claim responsibility. Shepherd and Hartnell were both in critical condition but alive when emergency services arrived, but Shepherd died of her wounds shortly thereafter. 2 weeks later, on October the 11th, 1969, the Zodiac claimed another life, shooting 29-year-old taxi driver Paul Stein in San Francisco's Presidio Heights neighborhood. As the murder did not seem to fit the Zodiac's pattern, it was initially deemed a robbery until the San Francisco Chronicle received a letter claiming the crime. At least five other murders have been tentatively linked to the Zodiac killer, including the 1963 shooting of Robert Domingos and Linda Edwards near Santa Barbara, California. Also, the 1966 stabbing death of college student Cherry Jo Bates in Riverside, California. With descriptions from witnesses who had seen a man leaving the scene of Paul Stein's 1969 murder, police were able to create and circulate a composite sketch of the killer. But despite mounting evidence and the investigation of numerous suspects, the Zodiac remained at large. In both the known and presumed Zodiac murders, no suspect has ever been arrested. Nearly five decades since the Faraday-Jensen murders, the inability to identify the Zodiac killer has continued to frustrate law enforcement. The mystery surrounding the Zodiac case also continues to fascinate the public and has inspired more than its fair share of theories regarding the killer's true identity. One man came forward in 2014 to reveal that a friend named Louis Myers had confessed to being the killer before his death in 2002. Certain events in Myers' history matched up with those connected to the Zodiac, but there was no conclusive proof. In 2020, after more than 50 years after Codebreakers solved the Zodiac killer's cipher, the decoded message read, "I hope you're having lots of fun and trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show," which brings up a point about me. "I'm not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner because I now have enough slaves to work for me where everyone else has nothing when they reach paradise. So they are afraid of death. I am not afraid because I know that my new life is life will be an easy one in paradise. Death." Absolutely bizarre. Who was the Zodiac killer? Did he die shortly after 1974? Did he continue to kill? Did he go to prison? It is very likely that we will never know the answers to those questions. It remains a mystery to law enforcement and to the public at large. The Zodiac killer, the man who struck fear into the populace, was never caught. A true criminal mind. Thank you for joining us on this episode of True Criminal Minds. Join us next time as we go into that place, that place of darkness, that place of foreboding of the true criminal mind.